You know, there's many people believe that our only enemy is Satan. And I used to think that also. So every time something went wrong, it's Satan. If someone was sick in the family, or there's an accident, it's Satan at it again. Or if I was tempted in any way, it's always Satan. But now I believe differently. Sure, I believe that Satan is our enemy, and I believe that Satan will try to tempt us. He tried to tempt Jesus, so he will try to tempt us. But also know that he is under our feet, and he can't do anything to us unless we let him. Now I believe that our greatest enemy is negativity and discouragement. And that comes now through experience. Through the last few years. Why do I believe that? Because negativity always reflects into a defeat. And if you think negative, you are defeated before you even start. I've started many things in my life where I didn't finish. And that's because my mind was very negative. I thought I couldn't do it. So I tried, and of course I didn't do it. Because from the start, I was looking at things negatively. And if we look at things negatively in the start, then it will be hard to finish. One of Joyce Meyer's books, which I don't usually read many of Joyce Meyer's books, but I was looking at one the other day, and she said this: positive minds produce positive lives. And I thought about that for a moment. I thought, so true. Positive minds produce positive lives. In the New King James Version, in Proverbs 23:7, we don't need to look at it. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, as a teenager, I was very positive in life, and especially in my late teens, which is a long time ago. I was very positive at life. So As I said before, I coached a soccer team, and we used to play better teams than us. We weren't a very good team at all. But I've always encouraged the boys before they start playing. We can beat them. We play an 11 against 11. We can beat them. Just be encouraged. Go out there, play your best, and we can beat them. And they always encouraged the boys. Didn't always work. There's many times when we lost. But I've always encouraged them to play the game and have fun. When I applied for jobs, I was very positive. I always got the job that I applied for. I don't remember any job I applied for and I never got it. Because I always went with a positive attitude that I'm going to get that job. In 1974, when I came to Australia, I had $100. Everyone was so negative before I left. What are you going to do in Australia with $100? 20,000 kilometers away with $100. So, well, I'm going to go there, find a job, work. So how are you going to find a job that quick? So, well, I know I'm going to find a job. So positive. Came to Australia, it was £50, which I changed for $100. And I got here, everyone was so negative to me, you know, there's no jobs around. 1974, again, it's a long time ago. No jobs around, it's very hard to get a job. I said, now I've got to get a job. I got no choice, $100 in my pocket. And within, I think it was two or three days, I got a job on the waterfront, straight away. Looking at things very positively. I remember Pastor Mike Grechko said these words once, I'll never forget them. Negativity always justifies itself. Negative people points out other people's problems. Those words stuck to my mind for a long time. But we need to choose to make a positive change. Positive change doesn't just happen. We need to choose to make a positive change in our lives. I admire my father-in-law. He was such a positive man. Anything that's broken, we can fix it. That was his attitude. There's no, whether it was a washing machine, whether it was a car. I remember with my 71 XY, I had this brake light that stayed on all the time. And I was a bit worried, being brakes. And my father-in-law said, he couldn't find what was wrong with it. He said, but we'll fix it. I said, okay. So I said, go to a few different mechanics and see what they say. So I went to about three or four. One says it was the master cylinder, and another one said the brakes need changing. So I told my father-in-law that. He said, don't worry. Go and get a book, a manual from the Treasure and Treasure. You'll get one for about $5 for the car. So I done that, and I got one for about $5. And he looked at it. He said, I know what's wrong with the car. What happened about a few weeks before that, we bled the brakes, and under the master cylinder, there's a switch which you're supposed to take off, bleed the brakes, and then put it back on. Otherwise, air gets in. And that's what it was, air went in. So all he's done, he's pulled the switch off, bled the brakes again, put it back on, and the slide's gone. And all these mechanics are saying $200, and some going back many years ago, $150, and all. He was so positive, and I always looked up to him for his positiveness. I think, how can he do these things, you know, so positive? Have you ever perhaps felt discouraged, maybe because of someone's negativity? I know I have. I felt discouraged by some people at times, and maybe you have also. Maybe been laughed at. I know I have been, and maybe some of you can relate to that. But life does have a way of discouraging us, most of us, from time to time. And we begin to feel that we don't have what it takes to get the job done. We think we can't finish the job. We start something, and we think we can't finish the job. Again, at work, when I first started on the waterfront, I would look. I would look at the huge cranes and huge machineries people were driving, and I thought, I'll never be able to drive them. That's okay for everyone else. They can drive them, but I'll never drive them. Again, very negative attitude. But then one day I said to myself, if these people can drive these machines, why can't I? What? I'm not different to anyone else. So I put myself, I asked to be trained. They trained me, and thank God within a few weeks I was able to drive almost any machine that is on the waterfront now, whether it's a straddle or a forklift. I came with a positive attitude. Soon as we have that positive attitude, we can do all things. There are many people now considered famous who at once felt perhaps like we do, discouraged. But they tried one more time, and they tried one more time. And look where they are now, very famous, just because they tried one more time, because they didn't give up. They kept on trying, and they now succeeded. And today I want to encourage you not to give up, because if you don't give up, you can go from defeat to victory. And there is no doubt about it. God promises that, promises us that, that we can go from defeat to victory. And sometimes we look at the mountain in front of us and we think, gee, that's a steep mountain. How am I going to climb that mountain? And so we give up before we start climbing. And a few weeks ago, we went to Queensland for a rest, which was a good rest, about 10 days. And my nephew took us to a place, I think it's called Slippery Sands Bay. And we went by boat. You can't get there by car. We went by boat. And I looked at this huge hill. It was all sand. It's really steep. I'm seeing everyone climbing this hill, really struggling. And I thought, it'd be good to go up there, but I don't think I can make it. And finally, I kept seeing everyone going up this hill, and I thought, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try and go up. So I'm climbing up, finished up on my hands and knees at the last part of puffing. It was really, really steep. But when I got up there, I'm facing this hill, turned around, and I just saw this beautiful, beautiful bay. And I thought, what a reward. You know, coming up here, now I've been rewarded for coming up here. And sometimes we don't realize that as we climb that mountain, the reward is waiting for us. But we miss out. We miss out from that reward because we give up too soon. We don't wait till we climb the mountain. Once we were on top, there was nowhere else to go but downhill. Downhill was easy. We started coming down. It was very easy. I ran down. But going up, it was hard. I ended up on my hands and knees. The last bit, I couldn't go. But thank God we've made it. So we don't want to look at the mountain. We know that we can climb the mountain. Not on our own strength, but with God, hand in hand, we can climb it. If we try to climb that mountain on our own strength, we can't do it. We'll fail, definitely, I'll guarantee you. But with God, we can. So today I want to share with you some choices for overcoming discouragement. And I'm going to, I have 6 points here which I'd like to share with you. First of all is don't stop too soon. So often in our own life we stop too soon. I think we don't. We just give up. We give up at the first sign of failure. We get discouraged. Soon as we think maybe we're not going to make it, we just give up. And that's the end of it. But I believe that today God is looking for people who are loyal to him and who will not give up. We need to stand on God's promises. Let's just have a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes, we'll only read first part of that. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So God's heart is to strengthen those who are committed to him. That's God's heart. If we are committed to God, God will be with us. That's his promise to us. And also in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. 22 verse 30. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. So God is looking for, I really believe that, God's looking for men and women who are committed to him and who will not give up very easily, who will persevere and not give up. Secondly, ride out your storm. Now we all have storms in life, and it's not if we have a storm in life, because we'll all have storms. And I'm sure some perhaps worse than others, but we'll always have storms. So ride out your storm. There are many people who have not realized their potential because of the storms of life. As soon as the storms come, they give up. And I've seen people over and over again, strong men and women of God, who as soon as they have some storms in life, they give up. We need to understand that the disappointments of life may very well move us towards Christ and help us to do things for him. We can read scriptures about Paul, many, many scriptures about Paul. And we'll look at some now in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul learned that God could take our weaknesses and use them to demonstrate his power. We will, again, as I said, we will go through storms. And when we do, we can say, "Lord, your grace is sufficient for me." But how often do we say that? I very rarely said that to the Lord when I'm going through storms. Rarely said it. Your grace is sufficient for me. Third point I want to make is realize God uses ordinary people. We say, but, and I have said this also, I'm sure some of you have said this too. We say, I'm just an ordinary person. Well, if you are, you're God's kind of person. God uses ordinary people just like you and me. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 26 and 27. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chooses ordinary people, doesn't he? Now, Paul is not suggesting here that these are the only people that God loves, okay? Rather, he's saying that God is able to take ordinary people like you and me and do extraordinary things in the world through them. That's what Paul is saying here. God chooses ordinary people. Remember when God's chosen nation of Israel, when it fell into sin and trouble, who did God choose? He chose Gideon at that time. Gideon was the least member of his family. His family was the least of the tribe. Let's have a look at that. In Judges chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. So God chose one of the least of the least. God uses ordinary people, just like you and me. But would you let him? We need to let God use us. And fourth point I want to make is don't let the negatives defeat you. Don't let the negative words that others speak defeat you. And I'm sure some of you have heard things like, you won't succeed. You won't succeed. At the Alpha course, in one of the sessions, Nicky Gamble talks about this young boy who was walking on the beach one day. And there was thousands and thousands of starfish everywhere. They got washed up from the sea, and now they're all dying from the heat. And this little boy was walking and just grabs one of them, and he just throws it in the water. And this man that was walking behind him, he said, young man, he said, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. He said, you'll never succeed. He said, look, there's thousands and thousands of these starfish. You're wasting your time. And the little boy grabs another one and he throws it in the water. And he looked at this man and he said, I'll bet you it made a difference to that one. It makes a difference. Even though it's one or two, or might be 10 out of hundreds of thousands of starfish. Maybe you have heard also, you can't be happy. Maybe people have said that to you. You can't be happy. Another one, maybe, you have nothing to offer. I heard this when I was a kid. You know, I heard people saying this to their children. Sometimes I even hear it, you know, not so long ago. Some parents say to their kids, you have nothing to offer. How sad is that? I mean, You know, people talk to their kids like that. Or another one, you'll never amount to anything. Another one, you'll never amount to anything. Maybe some of you heard some of these words. Maybe they even affected you. But you know something, the person that said these things was wrong. It was wrong to say such things. But now it's up to us to refuse to let them defeat us. Because if we let them, these words can defeat us. They can destroy us. But it's up to us to ignore them, to leave them behind us. It's the past. The past is gone. And number five, realize that you are special. We may not be the best at many things. I'm not the best at many things. And I'm sure we can all admit that. But we are God's best. We are God's best in the whole world, at the ministry he has for you, at the ministry he has for us. You are very special in God. You know, sometimes we put ourselves down. Many people put themselves down. You speak to people and they just so down. They just, you know, talking to you and they say, ah, but I'm this and I'm that. So you're a child of God. And the last point, be persistent. Jesus told an interesting story in the Bible, in Luke chapter 18, verses 3 to 5. Let's have a look at that, about persistence. Luke chapter 18, verses 3 to 5. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. The widow knew her only hope was in the judge's protection, didn't she? So she was persistent in her request until she got what she needed. And I believe she would have kept persisting, even if she wasn't granted that wish at that time. She would have kept persisting. She was a very persistent woman. And you and I must be persistent. If we want to see what God has for us, we need to persist. When God puts something on our hearts, we need to persist to it, not to give up. As I said, I'm speaking from experience. Many times I gave up different things. You and I too must be persistent. It is one of the most important factors in your reaching your potential. The key, I believe, to reaching your potential is to let Christ do it through you. It has to be Christ. There is no way we can compare with his power. It has to be Christ. We must dwell with Christ, making our relationship with him the most important part of our life. And as we become more like him, he will be able to use us for his glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. And I really believe there's a number of times when I was going to speak about this subject, and I really believe that God wanted me to speak about this topic today. And I really believe that perhaps there's someone even here that maybe words have hurted you in the past. Something have really inflicted you. And maybe you've even been thinking, maybe I want to give up. Maybe I'm close to giving up. I can't take this any longer. I really believe God would say to you, ask him. Ask him to hold your hand. And he will walk with you. He will take you through this mountain. You will climb up this mountain. And at the end of this mountain, it'll be a lot easier as you start climbing down. Thank you. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, I do thank you, Father, for your word, Lord. I do thank you for your promises, Lord God. Lord, how wonderful it is that we can stand on those promises, Lord God. Lord, we know the enemy can throw things, Father, at us. I know other people can throw things at us, Lord God, and put us down. But you will never put us down, Lord. You want to encourage us, Lord. You want to lift us up, Father. And I just pray, Lord, for any person here that perhaps is going through maybe rejection or whatever it might be, Lord, that you will take their hands, Father, that they will walk with you. They will realize, Lord God, that it's you they need to run to. Lord God, that you may give them comfort and you may give them peace, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.